is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. This January, our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball introduced their all-new CT Plus machine with a 21.5-inch touchscreen that allows players to train offline, build custom drills, compete in multiplayer mode, and view their stats in real time. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on their Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT Plus models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Nick Legalvo, head boys basketball coach at Lane Tech High School in Chicago, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new FastDraw and FastScout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and FastScout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improve communication with your team. FastModel also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. FastModel Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight. And we are going to talk some NBA. We are actually going to do a little midseason review by going back and looking at our over and under picks, which we did back in the preseason, Jay. So we'll get through all.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how badly I did. I don't have
we'll
any
see.
Idea.
Yeah, well, you're going into it blind, although I have to say I'm going into it blind too, because in all honesty, I haven't really looked at anything besides the first like two teams in the Eastern Conference. So we will see as we go through. But we thought that would give us a great opportunity to be able to talk about each one of the teams, and we can spend maybe a little bit more time on some of the teams that we find interesting or have news happening right now, and then we can kind of gloss over some of the teams that were like, not really much to say there. So we'll go through all 30 teams. I know you have a win shares for me, though, to start off.
Yeah, so I picked this team not knowing what our main topic of conversation was tonight, but it's the team the Cavs are playing tomorrow, Mike, the Memphis Grizzlies. Formerly the Vancouver Grizzlies. So this covers the Vancouver Grizzlies to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Okay.
So top five win shares. Go.
Zebo.
He's number four.
Pau Gasol.
He's number three.
Mike Conley.
He's number two.
Man, so I don't have number one. Who am I missing from that era?
The brother.
Thank you. Yeah, good call. Marc Gasol. How did I miss that one? I knew there was another guy. I knew there was another grit and grind guy that I was missing.
Yeah, okay. So this guy, number five, this is the one you're missing now. He may have been a Cavalier at one point.
He may have been a Cavalier. Mike Miller.
No, he's number six.
Oh, man, I thought I had it. Okay.
Wait.
A Cavalier.
Wait, hold on. I want to make sure I'm right. Yeah. He was.
Grit and grind era.
He was on the Heat. I messed it up. He played with LeBron. That's why I got confused for a second, which is really embarrassing since I'm a Cavs fan.
Shane Battier.
There you go. There he is. Yeah.
All right. That wasn't too bad.
I feel like there was one time that Shane Battier was linked to the Cavs in a trade rumor. He may have been. I had a brain fart. Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
It's a good thing number seven was not on the guy, because there's no way you're getting that guy.
Tony Allen?
No, he's nine.
Let me think. Number seven is a guy I'm not going to get.
Number seven.
Sharif Abdur-Rahim.
Okay, you got it.
All right. Seven, Vancouver.
Number eight was Rudy Gay. Number 10 is Stromile Swift.
Okay, wow, Stromile Swift. Man,
Number 11 Holy is cow. Brandon Clark. And number 12, Ja Morant. It's number 12.
Right. Yeah, Ja's got to get a couple more years in, but he's definitely headed in that direction, which
it didn't help. You got to remember the old era, like the Vancouver Grizz. Listen, when you go back, Mike, and you look
Vancouver
and how bad Vancouver was,
there's
no wonder they didn't survive. Here's their records, yeah. Mike. Here are their records. Okay, their first year, 15-67. Their second year, 14-68. Their third year, 19-63. The fourth year was a lockout year. They only played 50 games. You know how many games in 50 they won? Take a guess.
13.
Less.
8.
8 is the correct answer. They went 8-42. The year after that, they went 22-60, and the year after that, they went 23-59, and then they were out. I mean, but then you even look at when they went to Memphis the first 2 years. They were terrible. Like, god awful. They weren't good until 2011, 2012.
I mean, what's crazy is that I've only been to Vancouver once in my life, but Vancouver is just an awesome
I've been to Vancouver awesome too, Mike. Why'd you go to Vancouver for?
Just for vacation.
Oh, I went to Vancouver to catch a boat. We went to on our Alaskan cruise for our honeymoon. Okay. So.
Vancouver's awesome. I mean, and it's also, I think a lot of people don't know, but because of where it's located on the Pacific Ocean, it's much more temperate than what people think of when they think of Canada.
It's, do you know what I think of, Mike? I think of it's a nice, less rainy version of Seattle.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's beautiful there. Absolutely beautiful. And very cosmopolitan. Felt like a very international city. Like people from all over the world. Felt like you were walking down the street and there was multiple languages and just lots of people from different places and backgrounds. And it seems like a place, look, I get the aversion of NBA players to living in Canada and having to cross the border and pay the extra whatever taxes and all that stuff that goes along with it. But as far as just a city that it seems like guys would want to play in, to me, Vancouver, great city. Yeah. Great city.
And you know, it's a big Hollywood place now. A lot of places go because of the tax abatement and stuff. Yeah. Speaking of, who was it that today lost their passport? Who was that? Did you see that?
Oh, that was Jalen Duren from the Pistons.
Yeah.
So he's 19, and so he lost his passport. And last I saw on Twitter, the team was trying to help him either find it or be issued a new passport so he could get into Canada to play against the Raptors, which I'm assuming they play him tomorrow or maybe Thursday, I'm not sure, but
yeah, I don't know. I just saw that. Yeah. They were hoping that he would be there by game time was the hope. I don't know.
I don't know if he made it. Let's see. We can answer that question, right? Because they didn't play. Toronto played Milwaukee tonight, so it was not. So it must be that they play
Thursday. It looks like Thursday.
Okay. Yeah.
No. What the heck? When did they play him? I saw that too.
I don't know. Well, it's Jalen Duren, and it's the Pistons, so we don't have to really worry too much about that. You saw the other news from the Pistons, right? That Cade's been dealing with whatever this injury is. He's had it since high school, and so he's hoping that this is going to take care of it. And there was a bunch of Piston fans on Twitter saying, "Man, I can't wait to see Cade play without this injury. Once this whole thing is, he was amazing when he was playing with it. So let's see what he's like."
Give me a break. Come on now.
Yeah. So hard to believe that if he was playing with it through high school, that it was that debilitating when he was the number one pick in the draft. So I think he'll probably be look pretty similar to what he looked pre-injury and going through this. So even if it was kind of a lingering thing from high school. So
Some
Pistons news.
There you go. Mike is going to be the leader of the ship. Normally on the NBA episodes, I kind of guide, but he's got the lists. I don't have any lists. He wrote everything down.
I got the over-under. I got our recording of what we said and where we were. So we're going to see kind of how we stack up. Since we're about halfway through the NBA season, we thought this would be kind of a fun way to go through and sort of take a temperature check around the league and see where we're at and also give us a chance to see whether our knowledge going into the season, whether we were on track or whether we were completely off
base. I'm
going
to tell you, there's one I can think of right off the bat that we're wrong on, the Pacers. We're wrong on that one. We can mark that one wrong.
All right. We can mark
that one off.
What will be interesting to see is if there are any teams that we have already lost.
Well, that's one. Yeah. I'm telling you, the Pacers, I think, was 20, if I remember, was like 20, 24 and a half
the Pacers. It's, so they are 23. but Halliburton's out. They might not win for a while. So
Come on.
Who knows, man? They've lost four in a row, baby. They could be all over. We might still be good there. All right. Yeah. So let's go ahead and start. We're going to do the Eastern Conference first, and we're going to go. Do you want to go in order by the current standings, or do you want to go in order by alphabetical?
Let's
the way
go
we
alphabetical.
Did it before?
Let's go alphabetical.
You want to go
let's
alphabetical? Go. All yeah, right, yeah. Let's do it. Okay. Sounds good to me. All right, so we're going to start, therefore, with the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks are currently 22-22, which means they are a 500 team, which means they are on pace for 41 wins. Their over-under prior to the season was 46.5.
We both said under.
We both said under.
Oh, I'm liking it.
I feel pretty confident that bet will in fact, when Atlanta, everything coming out of there obviously has been that they're a little bit of a mess, both from a chemistry standpoint. And I didn't realize, did you realize that I knew they had removed Travis Schlenk from his GM position, but did you realize that they had elevated former NBA player Landry Fields, that he is now the GM of the Atlanta Hawks at 34 years old?
You saw who the assistant GM is now.
Well, I don't know. You got to tell me.
They announced it tonight.
Did they? I didn't see this.
He played for the Cavaliers. Kyle Korver.
Korver. Oh, yeah. I did see some stuff about that earlier that maybe he was going to be in there. So, all right. Well, those two guys got a lot of work to do because I'm not sure what you do with this Hawks team. John Collins has obviously been on the trading block forever. You can pull off the big trade this offseason to bring in DeJounte Murray, who I think by all accounts has been pretty much what you could have hoped for. I think the bottom line error here is, and we've talked about it a bunch, is what can you do with Trae Young? He had the great playoff run 2 years ago to get him to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Bucks, beats the Ben Simmons passing off Joel Embiid, injured, sick, whatever, Sixers. And it seems like that accelerated their timeline. And yet when you look, it just doesn't seem like, despite the fact that Trae Young averages 10 assists a game, everything that you hear and when you watch that team play, I'm not sure how fun it is to play with Trae Young because he really only is engaged when he has the ball. And if he doesn't have the ball on offense, he just stands there and he legitimately...
He pulls a Deion Waiters?
He waving his arms. I don't think... That's too much movement, I think, for Trae. I don't even know if Trae moves his arms. But the defense at the other end is just atrocious. And I know we've talked about it a bunch that... When you're, whether it's James Harden in Houston or now I think Dallas is going to run into this at some point with Luka if they haven't already, and certainly I think the Hawks have run into it, that it's not a whole lot of fun to just watch one guy dribble around and kind of dictate every single thing that happens. I mean, you can win that way, and when you have guys that are as talented as Harden or as talented as Doncic, then it can work. I'm just not sure it can work in terms of leading you to a title, and I know eventually that wears on guys and they just get sick of watching one guy do everything, especially when the guy doesn't do anything when he doesn't have the ball on offense and when he's a absolutely atrocious defensive player. So Atlanta has some problems. I think Trae Young, I know he's shooting like 33% from three, which for the volume of shots that he's taking is pretty poor. It's probably as bad as it's been in his career. And this team just to me seems like it seems like that team that's not having fun. I won't be surprised or stunned if there's a Trae Young trade within the next year. Whether it's, I don't think it's going to be at the deadline, but I could definitely see this summer Atlanta sort of rethinking, hey, what are we doing? And let's at least explore the market for what we could get for Trae Young.
I mean, that's not a terrible thought. Listen, the Hawks are terrible, Mike. And I'm really excited. But I'm also not excited about, like, how's it going to work in the playoffs? Like, if they get in the ninth seed, are we really going to get excited about watching the Hawks get into the play-in tournament, having to watch them make the play-in tournament? I'm not excited about that. I don't want them to play in the play-in tournament. I don't know.
Trae was so good in that playoff run. He was so good in that playoff run. And I think you and I, at that point, talked about, hey, do we maybe misjudge this guy? And he was clearly somebody who wasn't afraid of the moment. He wanted to take big shots. He had his floater game working at that point, and he was really, really tough to deal with. But I also think that he's just not a fun guy to play with. That's the sense that you get when you read things, when you hear things, and then when you watch that team play, there just doesn't seem like a level of excitement that goes along with the Hawks. So the Hawks are currently under pace, and I expect them to stay that way. So we are 2-for-2 so far on Atlanta. All right, let's go to the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics right now are at 33-12. Their over-under was 55.5. I took the over. Unfortunately, Jason, you took the under.
I'm done.
Boston's going to go over. Yeah, Boston's going to go over, barring some catastrophic injury to Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. This team is going to finish above 55 wins. I guess the question is, can they get to 60? Are they going to get to 60 wins? They're right there, I think, just below pace to get 60 wins. I expect them to be in that 57, 58 range, somewhere in there, barring, again, an injury. And they've won 7 in a row. They've had a kind of a streaky season. They started off the season really hot, other than not being able to beat the Cavs. And then they went through that stretch as Robert Williams came back, where maybe they were just trying to figure it out and what that rotation was going to look like. And their offense struggled. They weren't making shots. And now all of a sudden, boom, they're back winning 7 in a row.
And Jaylen's out, too, with the abductor muscle thing. So,
right. It feels like this team, I think just what they can do on the defensive end of the floor, which they haven't been as good as they were last year, but certainly they're still very, very good. And then offensively, like I said, they had that one stretch where they kind of cooled off on their shooting. Other than that, they've been lights out. And I think when you look at the depth of their team, and just obviously right now you have, as you said, Jaylen Brown being out, but for the most part, the health of their players has been good, especially compared to the availability of some of the guys that are in these teams that are chasing Boston in the East. They have experience, and I expect this team to be right there at the top of the conference. I think the regular season means more to the Celtics than it does to any of the, for sure, three teams, not including the Cavaliers. So of the top five, I think Boston probably places the most importance on the regular season for whatever reason. But Brown and Tatum, when they're healthy, they just play. Those guys aren't taking days off. And so I think the Celtics are probably going to finish with the one seed, barring something unforeseen, and easily go over. So I think I'm looking good on that one.
Yep, I agree.
All right, now the next one. This is an interesting one. The Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets over-under, 45.5.
Ooh.
So they are currently at 27 and 15.
Yeah, they're on pace to break that, to be
they're
over.
They're on pace to
break
that.
We definitely took the under on that, right? Both of us.
No.
Did I take the over?
You took the over. You took the over.
Oh,
so
yeah.
you're looking pretty good, because basically, as the season plays itself out, Brooklyn will have to be about a 500 team or so.
Yeah,
to
okay.
Finish,
I'll take it.
To finish, above that 45.5. Now, depending upon how long Kevin Durant is out, maybe not. And we haven't had a Kyrie flare-up in a couple weeks.
So you're saying
we could be due for a Kyrie flare-up at any time. Look, I think if you look at it now, I think you'd have to say the over is a pretty strong possibility, given the fact that if they go around 500 for the rest of the season, that they'll get there. This team's not very good without Durant. There's no other way around it. Simmons, all the things that we talked about with him preseason have all basically come true. I think he's probably honestly been maybe even... I think he's been maybe more productive, honestly, than I thought. But yet, you still look at what he's doing, and I think he's made one free throw since Thanksgiving. He just doesn't go to the basket. As soon as he gets near anywhere by contact, he just is flinging the ball to somebody. And the guy's so talented. He's such a good passer. He's got such a good body, and he can be physical and play defense. And so there's all these things that he can do, and yet you look at him and you're like, this guy has way, way, way too much talent to be a guy who can put up single digits in points. But it comes down to he's afraid to go to the free throw line. And You can say whatever you want, call it the yips, call it a mental block, whatever it is. The guy just does not want to go to the free throw line. And as a result, he's totally changed his game and the way he plays. And without Durant, you need Simmons to be the Simmons who
better, yeah.
3-4 years ago averaged 17 points and 8 rebounds and 8 assists. If Brooklyn was getting that guy, I would feel really good about, honestly, their title chances if all three of those guys are healthy. And if you had peak Philadelphia Ben Simmons and you combine that with this version of Durant that we've got this season and basically the version of Kyrie that we've had in the last month, I mean, that team is a legitimate title contender that's going to score against anybody. I'm not sure with this Simmons that even with Kyrie and KD playing at such a high level, I just don't think they can get there. I expect them to break this over, but
you're not a believer.
I'm not a believer. Something else is going to go wrong. We talked about how we didn't believe because we thought somebody would get injured. Boom, Durant's out for whatever, a month, 6 weeks, whatever it's going to be. And the Kyrie shoe is going to drop at some point. So to think that this team is really going to be a contender based on those three guys, I just don't see it. I continue to not be a believer. But when this team is at its best, they're a handful for, and nobody's going to want to play them if they're at their absolute peak.
If everyone's healthy, no one's going to want to play them. I agree.
But they're not winning 4 playoff series with that team. There's going to be too much. They're going to have to go through some adversity, and I'm not sure that this team is equipped to be able to do that. So we'll see what happens. But Brooklyn, I think you're on track to win that one with your over, and whereas I went under.
Hey, I'll take that victory, Mike. I'll take that victory.
All right. So right now I'd say we're even. We're even right now. All right. The next team. Oof. Doesn't look good for you. All right. The Charlotte Hornets. Currently, the Charlotte Hornets sit at 11-34. They're over under. It's 36.5.
Did I take the over?
Now, look, I'm a Michael Jordan fan. But I'm a Michael Jordan fan as a player, not as an owner. Unfortunately for you, you took the over.
I can't believe I did that. I feel like we had this conversation already.
You love LaMelo Ball, apparently.
What was I promised I was not drinking any adult beverages while we were doing the podcast.
Wasn't Miles Bridges already suspended, too, when we did this? I feel, because that was in the summer or in the preseason, right? He didn't get suspended once the season started.
Well,
he
hasn't been suspended, though.
But, I mean, he's not playing. I mean, that news already came out before the season, right?
Yeah.
So I think you had to have known that. Man, I don't know what you were thinking there.
I wasn't thinking. All right, so you're ahead of me now. I don't need to spend any more time talking about them, Mike.
They're right there as the worst. Okay, here's the question. There's only one question with Charlotte, right? The only question is, what is LaMelo Ball? Is LaMelo Ball a franchise player? Is LaMelo Ball a good stats, bad team guy? Is it too early to know? What is LaMelo in your mind? When ultimately 10 years from now, who's LaMelo Ball?
He's a slightly better version of Colin Sexton. Good stats on a bad team guy.
Okay, so you think he's a good player, but certainly not somebody that you're looking at as being the best player on
a championship team.
A team that has a legitimate chance to win a title.
I completely agree with that statement.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the defense, shooting's much better. I just don't think, I watch him play, and to me, he seems like a guy that's more interested in putting on a show than he is winning basketball games. That's just the way I see it. So yeah. The Hornets under, I feel pretty confident that the Hornets are not going to be getting to 37 wins this season. I feel pretty good about that one.
Yeah.
All right. The Chicago Bulls. Chicago Bulls are currently 20-24. Their over-under was 43.5, which means they have to get to 44 wins. Both of us said under. I feel pretty good about that.
Oh, yeah. I feel good about it. Man, we did pretty. I feel like we've done pretty well, except for that Hornets pick. I feel like we've been pretty.
Everything else, I think, is justifiable that we've said. I think everything else, there's at least some reasoning behind it. I'm not sure what was going on with your Hornets pick, but hey, what are you going to do? That's just the way it is. What about the other night? The Bulls without DeMar DeRozan put 132 on the Warriors, and your boy Vucci Main 43. The other night.
Listen.
After consecutive losses to the Wizards and Thunder for the Bulls. Look, the Bulls are really just, I don't know what to make of them. They're up and down. I think they have some good players, but it just doesn't feel like it's sort of the right mix of guys. I think in LaVine and Vucevic, you have two guys who are clearly lean towards the offensive end of the floor. Defensively, it's a little bit of a challenge. I'd say DeRozan probably fits into that category to some degree. And then they've got some good role players, but it just seems like it's a weird mix of guys. And then because of the improvement of the Eastern Conference, this team, I don't see them budging from sort of where they are now. I mean, I think they could maybe crawl back to 500 if Halliburton's out for another week or two and these other teams really go into the tank. But for them to improve any more and to be able to get up to that 44 win number, I don't see it. I think I feel pretty good about the Bulls being under.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to be under, and I just don't see how they do it. They don't have the offensive firepower, like, at all. Like, it just, they don't excite me either, Mike. They don't excite me.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot. I mean, look, those guys, DeRozan is what he is. LaVine has started to come around a little bit as his knees felt a little bit better. And that guy can score, but defensively, he's still kind of clueless. And Vucevic, we know, is just an offensive player. And he's not nearly as good of a three-point shooter, I think, as the Bulls were hoping when they brought him over. So his ability to space the floor isn't what they hoped. And so I just, look, I don't think the Bulls are getting to 44 wins, bottom line. They're gonna be right there at the back end of the play-in, kind of competing for that 9-10 spot, or who knows, depending on what the teams below them do. I could see them falling out if somebody decided, well, Toronto's probably the only team that's going to make a run. I don't think Washington, Orlando, Detroit, or Charlotte. I don't think we have to worry about any of those teams creeping in. Washington would be the only one, but there's a lot of rumors out there that maybe they're looking to trade some guys, so we'll see.
Bradley Beal finally?
No, I think Beal's going to stay. I just, first of all, if you're another team, would you trade for Bradley Beal in that contract? Would you?
I don't know. That's what the Lakers are promising. Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard. That's what they're promising to LeBron.
Does Beal put the Lakers? Does Beal put any team over the top? Like, I just don't love Bradley Beal that much. I just don't think that he's a guy that is going to push my team over the top. I don't see it, especially not at that price tag. I would never do that if I was another team.
I agree, Mike. I agree.
All right, the Cavs.
Oh, I feel good about this one.
Cavs are 28-17. Their over-under is 46.5, so they need 47. So they need 19 victories over the second half of the season, over a little less.
We both took the over on this, right?
Yes, we both took the over. I feel really good about that. I think that this Cavs team, again, barring major injury, I don't see how they don't get to 47. And clearly, I think it's interesting when you look back at what a lot of the national media thought coming into the season. I think that there was a clear, let's say, four at the top, maybe three, depending on how people felt about Brooklyn. But clearly, everybody thought Boston, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia were in a tier by themselves, maybe if you threw Brooklyn in there. And then the Cavs were kind of roped into that second group with the Knicks, the Hawks, the Raptors, the Heat. I think the Cavs were thought of in that category. And I think at this point, the Cavs have elevated themselves clearly into that top five. I think there's an upper echelon in the East, which is those top five teams. And then you have that next group, which I guess would include the Knicks, the Heat, probably, I don't even know. I think the Knicks and the Heat have been better than that next group of teams. Indiana's been good, but clearly with Halliburton out, that's a problem. Hawks and Bulls have been disappointing, as have the Raptors. So I think those teams at the back end of the play-in, the Hawks, Bulls, and Raptors have been the most disappointing, and the Cavs have obviously elevated themselves beyond what anybody thought. The fit with Donovan Mitchell has been tremendous. Could have been as good as anything you could have expected. That game yesterday against the Pelicans, where Mitchell's out with the groin injury and Garland just completely takes over, which is something that the Cavs didn't have the opportunity to do last year, where if Darius Garland wasn't on the floor, especially after Rubio's ACL injury last year, they just had nowhere to turn to generate offense. And this team now has two guys that are capable of not only getting their own shot, yeah, but running the team and being able to get things for other people.
Man, was that a sight for sore eyes? Mobley on the offensive end yesterday was really nice to see. Like, I thought he looked really good on the offensive end. Like, composed. He played really well. And Allen played well on the offensive end too. They played really well. That team, a very good team game, but obviously Garland carried them at the end, for sure.
Mobley's coming. It's coming. You can see it. It's not there every night. It's not there every time he gets the ball, but you can start to see what he can be offensively. He's got to be able to shoot it better. Eventually, he's got to be able to shoot threes better than where he's at now, which I think he's still below like 20%. But I see him getting the ball poked away a lot less. You can start to see him getting in towards the basket, and then he's got these different angles of little hooks and flips and things that he can do. I like his turnaround jumper when he can get to it. Sometimes he's just not strong enough to hold the position and be able to shoot it, but he's such a good passer, and he's such a threat on the lob that if he can tighten up his handle, as I've been saying for a year and a half now, that's going to make a huge difference in his ability to score. And then obviously he's got to continue to add strength, which as he grows and matures into his body and keeps working on it, I'm sure that's going to happen. And the Cavs are in good position. They're in good position for this season, and they're positioned really, really well for the future. I know we've said it a bunch of times, but this team clearly loves playing together, and they care about each other, and that comes through anywhere you watch them. You can go watch them in person. You can watch them on TV. They are together, and they're competitive. They've lost a lot of games that, as we talked about last week, they lost that Utah game, and then I mentioned the Clippers game from earlier on that West Coast trip where they just kind of collapsed at the end. But they've had so many comebacks.
They lost that Minnesota game, but Donovan was clearly sick.
They just keep coming. They don't give up. Even when they're not playing their best, you never feel like, ah, this team's just throwing in the towel. Like they've given up.
They're still ranked second on the defensive end of the floor. Still, efficiency. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah.
They're competitive. They're good. They're over. All right, Detroit.
Bad for me?
Bad for both of us. So the Detroit's over-under was 28.5, and both of us picked over. I think that ship has sailed, especially without Cade. The Pistons have 12 wins.
Done.
They are not going to get to 29 wins. I think if you're the Pistons, all you can say is it looks like the two guys they drafted this year, Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren, are both going to be
– as long as they have their passports.
Yeah, they're going to be really good players for Detroit. Moving forward, Duren's still like 19 years old, and Jaden Ivey is athletic, can get his own shot, can do things. There's a foundation in place for Detroit to be good in the not-too-distant future. So I think if you're Detroit, even though the fact that you've only won 12 games and it's kind of a lost season without Cade, I think you still have to feel pretty good because there are some pieces there in Detroit that you can tell yourself, hey, we're building as these guys mature, and we've got a centerpiece in Cade as long as he comes back healthy. So even though they're going to finish clearly under, there's a bright future, or at least a semi-bright future in Detroit.
All right, shoot the next one into the sun, Mike.
Okay, the Indiana Pacers. Over-under for the Indiana Pacers.
This is the one, other than Charlotte for me, that I was the most wrong on, I feel. Like, I think
24.5. Yeah, we both had the under. Indiana's over-under was 24.5. They are currently at 23. And I think all we can say is that we were not alone in feeling that Indiana was going to be one of those teams that was going to be tanking right from the very, very start. And I think there were two things, right, that we didn't take into account. I think one is just how good Halliburton is and how fast he was able to get there. So that's been the first piece and probably the most important piece. And then I think the second thing is Mathurin. He's got a good chance to win Sixth Man of the Year as a rookie coming off the bench. I'm not sure why they continue to not start him, although I guess it's working, and Buddy Hield's still a good player and probably one of the best shooters in the league. So I guess it makes sense. But Mathurin has been, I think, better than we thought, and the chemistry on this team has been good. They share the ball, and it all traces back to what Tyrese Halliburton has brought to the table. So we were way wrong on Indiana. Look, they're probably not going to win very many more games here while Halliburton is out, but they only got to win two over the rest of the season to make the over. I feel pretty good that they're going to be able to do that without much problem.
Yep, I agree.
All right, the Miami Heat. Now, the Miami Heat, you're looking good on this one, although it's close. So the Miami Heat, 48.5 was their over-under. So they got to get to 49. They are currently 24-21. You had the under. I had the over on Miami. I think you're looking pretty good. Although Miami is trending in the right direction, they'd have to get really hot to get to 49 wins. They'd have to be one of the top two or three teams in the Eastern Conference over the remaining
season. And I don't have faith. I don't have faith because that's so, I mean, Kyle Lowry's been terrible this year.
Yeah. And injuries, Jimmy Butler is not going to be a guy who's going to play the next 40 games. He's just not. And so he's going to sit out and miss games. I think this team, if you're Miami, your goal for the remainder of the season, if you're Miami, is you want to get out of the play-in.
Yeah.
And if you can get out of the play-in, I think that's probably a realistic goal. Now, they're only four games behind the Cavs and Sixers. So is it completely unrealistic to think that they could jump up into the top four? I don't think it's completely.
I'm willing to say it's completely unrealistic. Nothing that I've seen from them at any point this season has made me think that they can be competitive.
However,
they're 10-13 in the conference, Mike.
However, if you're Miami, you have to believe, right? Based on your track record, if you're the Heat, if you're Eric Spoelstra, if you're Pat Riley, and you're sitting there, you're thinking about your team's pedigree, you have to think, hey, we can get there. If we put things together, we can get to where we want to go. Now, I don't think it's going to happen. I think you're going to be right with the under, and I'm going to be wrong with the over. But
I mean they're only three teams in the Eastern Conference that they've got better in conference records against. It's the Eastern Conference is the Magic, the Pistons, and the Hornets.
Okay, but look at it. Is Miami better than the three teams that are right behind them? Is Miami better than Indiana? Yes. Are they better than Atlanta?
Yeah.
Are they better than the Bulls?
Yeah.
If you were having a playoff series, who would you pick between the Heat and the Knicks?
I don't know if Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson keeps playing like this. Come on, man.
You pick the Heat. You pick the Heat, right?
Well, you're saying that. I'm not saying that.
Well, what are you saying? Are you going to pick the Knicks?
Have you seen Julius Randle?
I'm just asking.
Jalen Brunson playing?
I'm asking you not to ask me a question. I'm asking you to tell me who would you pick.
Right now, I'd probably pick the Knicks.
All right. Well, see, you're wrong. So that's all right. No, I think the Heat, look, they're not going to get the 49 wins, bottom line. They are not going to get the 49 wins. So congratulations.
Listen, I'm going to get that one. So now we're even again, right? We're even now?
We're pretty close to even. I don't know. I've been really keeping track about who's where, but we can do that at the end. We'll do that at the end. I'll try to add it all up.
Okay.
The Bucks, 57.5 is their over-under. No, 52.5? Yeah, it's got to be 52.5 because Boston had the highest over-under. 52.5. So the Bucks, both of us had the Bucks at the over, 52.5. I think they're probably going to get to the over.
It's going to be close, though.
It's going to be close. And Giannis currently has the little knee issue, although they won again tonight against Toronto, and Drew had 37.
Hey, speaking of Giannis, Mike, I got a fun fact for you.
Okay, go for it.
He scored in single digits twice this week. You know that?
Yeah, that's not good. No, I didn't know that.
Okay, so he scored in single digits twice this week. What was the last year that LeBron scored in single digits?
Yeah, I saw this. I don't know the year, but it was a long time ago. He had 8 against somebody, and he was talking about how he didn't even remember that game. And
January of 2007.
There you go.
The year the Cavs won, went to the finals.
Okay, there you go.
What was it? January, I just saw it. January... That's crazy. Giannis has done it twice in a week, and LeBron hadn't done it since 2007.
Again, it's a testament to LeBron and
that's
what
a regular
is, right?
Season. He had the one playoff game that he didn't do well. Yeah.
But that thing, I mean, that's LeBron in a nutshell, right? That's his entire career. His career is based on consistent, ridiculous, on time, every night performances. That's what his career has been based on, just the fact that you can suit him up and he's going to do, you know what you're getting out of him night in and night out. And you get monster games too, but you know that the baseline of what LeBron is going to produce for you in a given game or a given season, it just is what it is. That's what makes him
who he is. We'll talk more. LeBron. I've got one more stat for you for LeBron when we get there.
All right. So the Bucks, I think the big thing for the Bucks right now is one, Giannis clearly has to be healthy. Two, this team has no chance to win an NBA championship if you don't get some version of Chris Middleton. Maybe it doesn't have to be peak Chris Middleton, but without Chris Middleton, this team is not winning an NBA title. They just don't have enough offense. They don't have enough spacing. They can't do it. And last thing is, if Giannis is healthy and if you get the best version of Chris Middleton, Joe Ingles is going to help this team tremendously in the playoffs if those other two guys are at their peak. Ingles just does so many things that the Bucks just didn't have a guy like him before that could do the things that he does. And now he's great. He's not great defensively one-on-one, but he's a smart guy. He can be in passing lanes. He gets lots of deflections, and he's crafty, even though one-on-one he doesn't necessarily have the foot speed to stay in front of people, and he doesn't necessarily fit with their sort of lockdown and locked-in defense that the Bucks like to play. But he's going to be an important part of what they do defensively. I still expect them to go over 52.5 and get to 53.
It's going to be close. It's going to be close.
Because I think they're going to end up finishing second behind Boston. Again, unless they get Middleton back, and I could see this being a team that goes and rips off 15 out of 17 at some point if they get all their guys healthy.
I'm just hoping, I mean, I'm going to be selfish here, Mike. I'm hoping that Giannis doesn't play on Saturday.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
listen, we got a back-to-back Golden State and Milwaukee. Well, thanks for that, NBA schedule gods. God bless America.
Well, and hopefully Mitchell's groin injury, they're already talking about whether he's going to play in Memphis tomorrow night, so we'll have to see. Hopefully.
Well, I would just sit him.
Yeah, I mean, you want him to be healthy.
The Saturday game's the more important one.
Right.
That's what I would do, but that's just me.
I got you.
All right, Knicks.
The Knicks, 39.5. 39.5. So you pick the under. I pick the under. I'd say we're both looking a little dicey. The Knicks have won 25 games. I'd say they've played better than.
I think we've lost this one, Mike. I think we've lost this one.
Yeah, I think for them only to win, they'd have to go 15 and 20.
No, 14. It's 39.5, right?
Yeah, sorry, 14 and 21, 14 and 22, something like that.
No, worse than that. Even worse than that. Right, they've got 37 games, so they'd have to go 14 and 23. There you go.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. This team, although they are 11 and 12 at home, they're 14 and 8 away from Madison Square Garden. And as you said earlier, Brunson's been really good, and as a result of that, Julius Randle has rebounded from last season's poor showing to look more like the guy that
got that contract.
Exactly. And so I think the Knicks have been, I would say, a pleasant surprise. Brunson has been, I think, better than what most people probably thought. He certainly, at this point, is earning the money that the Knicks paid him over the free agency last summer. So the Knicks, I expect them to go over, and you and I are both going to be wrong on that one.
All right,
next, Magic. Orlando Magic. So the Orlando Magic's number is 25.5, and I had the over, and you had the under. The Orlando Magic are currently at 16-28. This team has been, I think, about what I expected, in that their young players have played well.
Fultz has looked good lately.
Look, he's good. I mean, there's no way. The guy has talent.
And I just needed to set you up, Mike. I was just teeing you up.
You don't get to be the number one pick in the NBA draft without having talent. He has talent.
Anthony Bennett made the number one pick in the NBA draft.
I guess that's true. Sorry. Maybe you don't have to have talent. But Markelle Fultz has talent, and he's a good player. Banchero's been great, and it's been well documented what he's done offensively and getting to the free throw line and scoring, and also being able to handle the ball and pass it and sort of be the focal point of an offense. Franz is probably, at his age, it's probably one of the better guys. When you look at, okay, who can be the second or third best player on a championship team, he kind of fits all the check marks that you would want for a guy like that. Size, passing, playmaking, ability to score, he can shoot it. He's been really, really good. And I think that Orlando is a team that they're young, but they definitely have. We talked about it earlier with Detroit. If you're an Orlando Magic fan, you definitely have the foundation. You got my guy, Bol Bol, who has been, again, as good as anybody could have possibly hoped.
Did you see what Jokic said to him yesterday?
No.
Oh, hold on. I'll pull it up. Go ahead. Talk about Bol Bol for a second.
So, I mean, look, I love Bol Bol and what he can do, and he's still sort of a weird anomaly in that body and the way he handles the ball and can shoot it. And it's still, his playing time still kind of goes up and down. I'm not sure exactly why that continues to happen. And I know he was starting for a while. Now he's back on the bench, coming off the bench for the Magic. But The Magic is going to, I think they're going to get to the over. They only have to get to 26. That's 10 more wins. I think they're going to get over 26, or I think they'll get to at least 26.
All right. So after the game the other day, Jokic, because Bobo crossed him up and dunked on him. Did you saw that? Did you see this highlight?
Yes.
They said, what did you say to him afterwards? He's like, if he crosses me up and dunks on me again like that, I'm going to F him up.
Nice. There you go.
That's Jokic. So that, I mean, they were teammates, so I think they're
yeah. Good. Yeah. There you go.
So there you go.
There you go. All right. For Philadelphia 76ers, 49.5, which means they have to get to 50 wins. The Philadelphia 76ers currently have 27 wins.
They're trending up, right?
They're trending up. Definitely trending up. And I think if you believe that they're going to stay in the top five, I think the top five in the Eastern Conference are all going to be right at 49, 50, 51, somewhere in there. So I think if you think Philly's going to stay there, I think you have to think that they're probably going to get to the over. Both of us said under, and I think this one is, it's still up in the air. I don't think there's any guarantee.
It's a coin flip,
gonna,
I think.
Yeah. I don't think there's a guarantee that they're going to get to 50, but I think if they stay relatively healthy, Embiid's having a monster season. I mean, he's averaging, what, like 34 a game, and what he's doing is crazy. And then, I don't know if you listened to, was it?
I have not had any time to listen to podcasts, Mike.
Oh, I listened to Winhurst this morning. And he had
I have no time for podcasts right now.
All right, so he had Kirk Goldsberry on, and Goldsberry was just talking about Harden and just sort of how he's evolved. But basically, the gist of his argument was that Harden is creating more points off of his assists than anybody else in the league based on whether he's assisting a three or whether he's assisting a two and whatever. And basically his point was that Harden, no, he's not the same level of player that he was in Houston, especially when it comes to scoring. But as far as being a point guard or distributor, that he's as good or better than he's ever been, which is all fine. It's all fine.
Yep.
Regular season, whatever. This team, they can win 52 games. They can win 60 games. They can win 42 games. Come playoff time, I'm just not buying it. So I think Philly's probably going to go over that 49.5. I think they probably get to 50, but whatever. Both of us had the under. All right, Toronto. We both went over. They were at 44.5. I think Toronto is clearly, I think they're not going to get to that 45 win number. They have scuffled all year, except for their two games. Feels like their two best games of the season have been against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And for the rest of the season, they just are kind of a mess. And they lost to the Bucks tonight without Giannis.
Without Middleton.
Without Middleton. I don't know really. This team is just a weird, weird team. And they were weird in a way last year that was a good way. And this year it feels like they're weird, but in a negative way. I know everybody, whenever you listen to a podcast from somebody national or whenever you read something, everybody's talking about this is the kind of the swing team that are they going to sell? Are they going to buy? What are they going to do? Are they going to stand pat? Who knows? To me, it doesn't feel like a team, as we talked about, I think, last week. It doesn't feel to me like this is a team that's going to sell and trade off any of their guys, because all their guys are in a range of ages that you would want, and they're the type of players that you'd want. So it feels to me like they're going to do something on the fringes. Maybe you trade Van Vliet, but he's kind of the leader of that team, and I'm not sure what really you can get back for him. I don't know what kind of value, if you're Toronto, what are you looking to get back from Fred Van Vliet? Are you looking for a guy that you can actually play in your rotation? Are you looking for draft picks? I don't know what the market is for Van Vliet. I think Toronto ultimately ends up doing nothing and just tries to right the ship with this group and then reorganizes in the summer.
Yeah, I just don't see that they're going to be able to get enough for what they're going to want and what team's going to be willing to give it up. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
I just don't see how they pull it off. So
I agree. All right, the Washington Wizards. We both said over. 35.5. So they got to get to 36.
They're right on pace.
They are at 18-26. So they are pretty
just a little,
much
right
little
there.
Bit under, little bit below pace. In all honesty, I expect them to stay below. I don't think they're going to get to the over. Now, Porzingis has been good. Some of their young guys, I know Rui has been playing better as of late, but I just think that this team, are they going to go full on tank mode? I don't know, but there's lots of Kyle Kuzma rumors out there because he makes like $13 million and he'd be a guy that just about any contender would want to plug into their rotation in the playoffs. Will they make that trade? I don't know, but I don't think this team is good enough. I don't see them. I think they'd have to crawl over one or two of the Toronto, Chicago, Atlanta, Indiana group, and I don't think they can crawl over two of those teams. I don't think they're better than, to be honest, I don't think they're better than any of those teams. So I don't see them getting to the over, even though we thought preseason that they might.
Yep, I agree. I don't see it. They're not that good, Mike. They're bad.
United Basketball Plus is your doorway to all things basketball. If you desire to go further, faster as a coach and leader, if you want to maximize your team's potential, or if you simply just want to be a student of basketball, United Basketball Plus is the resource to take you to the next level in your basketball journey. As a member, you will have access to some of the greatest minds in basketball today. The in-depth videos provided by these coaches and basketball experts will help make difficult concepts simple to understand and teach. With your membership, you will have access to video playbooks, sports psychology, fast model playbooks, skill development, speed agility, and various other United Basketball Clinic videos. Your annual membership also includes access to our 2021 United Basketball Clinics, as well as discounts to attend future basketball clinics. The best way to find out all we have to offer is to visit us at unitedbasketballplus.com.
All right, Eastern Conference in the books. How long do we go?
We went 45 minutes. On the 45 Eastern
minutes. All right, so we're going to try to speed it up here as we go to the West.
Yeah,
We're going to try.
Mike.
We're going to try. All right, here we go. The Dallas Mavericks. We had them 48.5 was their over-under. The Dallas Mavericks currently sit at 24-21. I went over. You went under.
Ooh, that one's a coin flip.
That one's close. I think the Western Conference is so weird, and I think with Dallas, to me the question becomes, can they do something at the deadline to make their team better? Should they do something to make their team better?
Like trade Tim Hardaway Jr. for Caris LeVert?
Yeah, I don't know if that makes a difference for either one of those teams.
That's I don't think it does. I agree.
I hope the Cavs don't make that trade. And I hope Dallas doesn't make that trade. I hope both teams stay away from that one because I'm not sure what that really does. It comes down to, I think, can Luka carry them to that?
Can Luka level get of some help?
Yeah, can he get some help? Can they do something at the deadline? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. You could tell me either one. You could tell me Dallas gets to 49. You could tell them me. I think they probably settle. If I was betting right now, I'd probably bet the under and say they settle around 46, 47, 45, somewhere in there. If I had to bet. So I think you're looking pretty good on that one.
All right.
Next, Denver, 49.5. Oof. Both of us had the over. To me, that's a no-brainer. Denver's been phenomenal. Jokic, if he's not the MVP, you look at all the advanced numbers and pretty much every advanced number that you can look at on any website will tell you that Nikola Jokic is the best player in the league. And what he's doing, he had the three the other night. Who'd they beat the other night when he hit the three? I forget who he beat.
Was it Orlando?
No. It was who was it? Was that last night that they won that game? Or was it two nights ago?
They played Orlando two nights ago,
yeah. It must have been Orlando.
I was right. I don't get that off of right.
He hits the step back, three. And he's just – that guy is just phenomenal. He's an offense unto himself. Unlike Trae Young, he's got to be so much fun to play with because he doesn't hold the ball. It's always moving. He seems like he's one step ahead of everybody. His passing is at a level that very, very few guys in the history of the league have ever reached. He just sees things that other players don't. And because of his size, it makes it so much easier for him to pass over top of the defense. His sight lines are better. And this team, Murray's going to continue to round into form. I don't even feel like Porter has had, I would say, an average season. Aaron Gordon has been fantastic. this team can win. I think they can win the title. They definitely can get to the NBA Finals and win the West. So this team's going to go way over 49.5.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're already at 30.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're going to win 20 more games? Yeah, right.
It's a no-brainer. I mean, I think people are still maybe discounting them a little bit as far as can they win the championship because their defense is average. I think they were like 16th or 17th in the league coming into tonight. So I think people have a question mark about what can they do defensively, but their offense is so good. And I just think Jokic, if he's got those guys around him and he doesn't have to just carry a team that's a shell of itself, I think he's always come up big in the playoffs. I mean, we've talked about it year after year in the playoffs that even though maybe Denver hasn't gone as far as I thought or other people thought they might, Jokic has been tremendous. So I think they're right there as a favorite. The Golden State Warriors. 51.5 was their over-under. I think we can safely say that they are going to go under, and that is what we both said. We both said under.
Oh, good. I was holding my breath there. I couldn't remember what I said.
We both said under. I mean,
yeah.
I think going into the season, I think we both feel like, look, they won the title last year.
I feel like when we talked at the beginning of the year, we said we think they're going to go under. However, if you would tell us at the end of the season that they were a top three team and they made it to the finals, would we be surprised? And we said no, we wouldn't be surprised. However, we didn't feel like they were going to be as good this year. I feel like that was the general gist of our conversation.
Right, and the regular season, right? The regular season, not that meaningful for them. They feel like they could go and win games anywhere, although
they're 17-5 at home and 5-17 on the road, Mike.
Yeah, and I think the Draymond Jordan Poole punch played into
our. Did you see that podcast interview by chance or no?
No,
he had like a 30-minute sit down at Draymond, and they talked about it, and they asked him like how's your relationship for Jordan Poole and blah 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 blah. And it wasn't Sage Steele, but it was someone like Sage Steele that was interviewing him. And he basically said, you know, we're men. We go to work. Are we best friends? I mean, obviously things have changed. But we're past that. We play together. We ride the bus together. We are cordial with one another. Are we like besties? No. But at the same time, we have a job and we've gone past it. And, you know, it's a work in progress. Will it ever be the same? He said no, but you know that we're going to get there. We're going to get as close to that as we can get. That's what he said. Like, I thought it was a very well thought out response to a loaded question, in my opinion. Obviously he knew what he was getting himself into when he went on a podcast, right? I mean,
yeah.
But at the same time, I thought it was a well thought out response.
Yeah, which you don't always think of when it comes to Draymond. So this team's not going to get to 52 wins, and I think that there's still a lot of sentiment out there that they can turn it around and get back into title contention. I wouldn't really want to play them in the playoffs, but I don't think they're winning three rounds of the Western Conference playoffs to get to the NBA Finals. I just don't. I don't see it. You can't be 5-17 on the road and have all the issues that this team has and get to the finals. I mean, unless Steph's going to go on a complete bender and they're really going to turn it around. I don't see it from Golden State. So let's stay with the under. All right, next we have the Houston Rockets. Houston Rockets, their over-under was 23.5. They need to get to 24. They currently are at 10. There is no chance the Houston Rockets are getting to 24 wins. Absolutely no chance whatsoever.
Zero.
So the only thing I'll say about the Houston Rockets, I don't know if you saw this, but there was an interview, I saw it on Twitter, that they asked Eric Gordon, they said, well, can you tell us a little bit about the improvement in this team since the beginning of the season? And Eric Gordon just stared blankly at the reporter and said, there is no improvement. And I think that's all you need to say about the Houston Rockets. What are they doing? I mean, these guys are just, it's sort of like the process Sixers where now they have better talent maybe than some of those teams, but they're playing losing basketball.
And they're terrible.
These guys are playing. They have bad habits. And at some point, you got to start to turn things around, at least play competent basketball. But that is – look, there's talent there, but I would not want to see Wembanyama go to the Houston Rockets, because I just think that that mix of guys that they have, I'm not sure that that's a winning combination, even as you look forward, despite the fact that they have talent. So Houston Rockets, we both said under. Mike, they're going under.
Mike, really quick, let's go back to the Nuggets real quick.
Okay.
Jokic's stat line tonight. You ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
36, 12, and 10 with one steal, one block. He's 13 of 14 from the field. The only shot he's missed was a three-pointer. He's 9 of 10 from the free throw line. I mean, that's ridiculous. He's got four turnovers.
His true shooting percentage is like 69%, which takes into account whether you're shooting twos and threes and where you're shooting them from and all. He's just – the guy is completely ridiculous. Every time you look at a stat line, it looks something like that. Like 13 of 14 is obviously on the outer limits of what he normally does, but –
Michael Porter Jr. tonight, 4 of 6 from behind the arc, Mike. There you go.
Denver's good. Look, Denver can win the NBA title. If they're healthy, yeah, they can win the NBA 100%. Title. I don't think there's any.
Sorry, like I just saw that and I wanted to I saw Kendrick Perkins tweet that Jokic was like Russell Westbrook in 2016.
There you go. except he probably has the ball on a per minute on a per 36 minute basis. He probably has it like one fourth as much of the time as Westbrook does.
All right. So Clippers.
Okay, the Clippers were 52.5. We both took the under.
I think we can safely say that is an under.
The Clippers, Paul George and Kawhi, A, never play together. B, you never know if they're going to be available. They're not going to be available for long stretches of regular season games, even if somehow they are available in the playoffs. So there's no chance that the Clippers get to 53. I think we were right on point in the preseason, and I think we continue to be right on point. Who knows? I know Simmons suggested that they should trade one of those two guys, probably Paul George. I don't think the Clippers are going to get to that point, but the ship has sailed on this particular iteration of the Paul George, Kawhi, Los Angeles Clippers. If you are still holding out hope that this team is somehow going to make a run in the playoffs, you are delusional. I just don't see how it can happen.
Yep, I agree. They're bad.
All right, the Los Angeles Lakers currently sit at 20-24. Their over-under was 45.5. Jason, you unfortunately took the over. I took the under.
Keep hope alive, baby.
There is no chance that the Los Angeles Lakers are going to win 46 games. There is no chance. So, that being said, what do they do? Do they make a trade? What's your gut? Tell me.
I don't think they make a trade because Anthony Davis' reliability of being available is nil at this point. And I don't think that they're going to make a splash right now with the uncertainty of Anthony Davis. I think if Anthony Davis was healthy and LeBron continued to play at the rate like he's playing ridiculously right now because he has to, then I would think they would make that trade. But I just don't think they can right now. It's my opinion. And once again, like,
What's out there? Who can they get realistically?
We've gone through this, Mike. I think the answer is no. In my opinion, we don't have to rehash it. Although I do have something I wanted to do. This is my LeBron thing. I saw this post today. LeBron has played against 6 father-son duos, Mike.
That's pretty incredible.
Six father. Can you name any of them?
6 father-son duos? Man, let me think. That's going to break my brain. I don't even want to think about it. Just list them off for me.
Okay, here you go. The sixth one was added yesterday, so that's why this came up. Trent Jr. and Gary Trent Sr.
Okay.
Gary Payton and his son.
Yep.
Glenn Robinson and his son.
Okay.
This year he added 2 more. Kenyon Martin and his son.
Yep.
And Jabari Smith and his son.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Nice. All right. Well, look.
Oh, I forgot one more.
Okay.
I didn't even know this guy's dad played in the NBA. Jalen Brunson and his dad, Rick Brunson.
Rick Brunson.
You go. Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it?
That is kind of amazing. Another testament to LeBron, right? It's the longevity.
I keep bringing up ridiculous LeBron stats, but
LeBron's like a metronome. There's no doubt about that. I think if you're the Lakers, this is the last thing I'm going to say about the Lakers. if you're the Lakers, you can delude yourself. If you're LeBron, you can convince yourself that this Western Conference doesn't have a juggernaut team, that you can look and you say, I'm LeBron James. This is Anthony Davis. If he's healthy and we get one or two more guys that could really help us, that we could win the Western Conference. Now, I think they're wrong, but you could see how if you're LeBron and AD or you're Rob Pelinka, that you could think that. You're wrong, but I could see how you could think that. So I'll leave the Lakers right there. Our next team is Memphis. Memphis, 48.5 was their over-under. Looking good for you, buddy. You had Memphis at over. They are currently at 30 wins. I had Memphis under 48.5. So they would have to completely collapse in order for that to happen. So I think you're looking good. Memphis is, I think, right there. I think right now you'd have to say Denver, Memphis, and New Orleans if they're healthy.
Well, we took care of the Pelicans yesterday. We're going to take care of Memphis tomorrow, Mike?
I think it's going to be a little harder to take care of Memphis in Memphis, especially if
Donovan Mitchell doesn't play.
Memphis is good. Ja is good. This team is deep.
Just get JJJ getting foul trouble and then
Right. They're young. Yeah, I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. plays 26 minutes a game because he just can't stay on the floor. But while he's on the floor, he's basically rejecting every single shot in his vicinity. And Ja's dunk the other night was just completely ridiculous. I'm sure everybody at this point has seen it.
Listen. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm glad he finally made a dunk. He's been so many times.
He's been close on that dunk. He's been close on that dunk a bunch of times. And that one he finished. For a guy that's whatever he is, 6'1", 6'2", and with not exactly built like a fire plug, but a guy who's skinny and that size, for him to be able to dunk on people the way he dunks on people is just, it's absolutely ridiculous. And Memphis is a team that's hungry. It's a team that's going to play hard. It's a team that, for them, the regular season still matters. There is no possible way that this team is finishing with under 48.5 wins. So kudos to you and the Memphis Grizzlies for a great season.
JJJ has played in 26 games this season. Guess how many fouls he has in 26 games?
Well, 26 times 5, I'd say he's got 125 fouls.
Well, he's not even that ridiculous. He's only at 80.
Okay, well, there you go.
Last year he had 272 in 78 games.
It's a lot of fouls. The guy likes to foul, but yeah. He's definitely
like
a menace.
Jordan Clarkson loves to shoot.
That's right.
JJJ loves to foul.
Memphis is good. Memphis can win the West. I'm not sure they can beat any of these best teams in the East, but they can definitely win the West.
Yep.
The Minnesota Timberwolves. Okay.
We both had the over on this, right?
We both had the over on Minnesota. 48.5 wins, 49. There's no chance that Minnesota is getting to 49. I think we both thought that, just like everybody else, or just like a lot of people, that Gobert would make their defense better. It hasn't made their defense better. It's made it worse. I think last year they were the 13th ranked defense. This year they're like 18th. So they are not better. And then clearly Gobert is not additive, let's put it kindly, on offense. And finally, I think Anthony Edwards is starting to come around a little bit, but he has, I would say, had a slightly disappointing season. Although, again, we have to temper that with the fact that he's 21 or 22 years old. And I think that because Minnesota tried to accelerate his timeline, I think we all also decided we were going to accelerate his timeline. But Minnesota is not a good team. Again, despite the fact that they've beaten the Cavs twice, and so they look good against the Cleveland Cavaliers twice. So I think Toronto and Minnesota are the two teams, and I'm like, what's wrong with those teams? They're both good. Because the times that I've spent watching the entire game, those two teams have looked like good teams.
Isn't it so fun like watching the Cavs and knowing that they're playing meaningful basketball?
It is. It is.
Like, and then we can get so mad about why are we losing to these terrible teams again.
Yeah. It's amazing how it kind of, I don't want to say it ruins my day, but I get upset.
When I get the text, terrible loss.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, how do you lose that game? How do you lose them? How do you lose to the Timberwolves? Yeah. It's terrible. Right. Anyway, Minnesota's going to be way under. So I had the over and so did you. So we're both out on that one. The Pelicans, 44.5 was their over under. And so that means they need to get to 45. They are currently sitting at 26 wins. And
take your victory lap, Mike.
I took the over, you took the under. I think it's clear that despite all the injuries that they've had, and Ingram hasn't really played, and Zion's now been sitting for a week and a half, and this team is still sitting third in the Western Conference. They have a 3.7 point differential.
I think it's going to be close. I think they're going to get the over, but it's going to be closer than you think, right?
Well, if Ingram and Zion continue to linger and not be in the lineup, then it's going to be tougher than it should be. But if those two guys come back, this team's clearly better than that.
So you said it was 44 and a half?
Yeah.
So they got to get 19 45. More wins. They got to get 19 more wins in 37 games. So
yeah, they can do that. Yeah.
19-22. So they got to go just under 500. I mean, it's
yeah, there's no way they're not doing that. They're doing that for
okay,
sure.
Okay.
This team can win the title. No, I shouldn't say that. They can win the West. This team can win the West.
Yeah,
this team
can win the West. They're not going to beat any of those Eastern Conference.
No, this team can win the West, though. This team.
Man, how much fun would that Pelicans-Cavs finals be? I would sign me up for that, baby. Let's go.
I would love to see the Pelicans make a deep run. I think that they'd be a really fun team to watch in a playoff series.
Two young teams. That would be an awesome finals. Hey, NBA. We'll do it.
Okay.
Adam Silver.
Put in a personal call. There you go. I like it. No, that'd be fun. I'd like to see New Orleans in the playoffs playing anybody, just because I'd love to see what opposing coaches try to do with Zion if you had him at full strength. What do they do in the playoffs to try to take away what he can do? Because nobody's been able to figure it out in the regular season. He just rampages the rim against anybody. All right, the Thunder. 23.5 was their over-under. Unfortunately, both of us took the under. They are currently at 21. I don't think any one of us thought that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was going to ascend to a top 10 player in the league. I mean, he's going to start the All-Star game.
Yeah, is he on the All-NBA team?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt. At this point, he's probably
I think he's a second teamer, right?
Second team.
Cuz yeah, Donovan's got to be in the discussion
for I'd say right now Luka, right? Luka is going to be one of your guards, and probably Mitchell at this point, but you could make a pretty compelling case for Shai statistically.
Yeah, but I think you have to look at wins and stuff too. But
yeah, this team is better than I thought, primarily because of Shai, and then Giddey has really been playing well over the last month. He's gotten a lot better. That guy's gonna be really good. Let's put it this way: if Chet Holmgren is a player. If Chet Holmgren is good,
that team's going to be a top five team next year.
I don't know if they're going to go that far, but this team's going to be good.
I mean, they're not that far from a top five team right now. They're two games out of the fifth spot. Come on. Chet Holmgren's not worth two games.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. Look, Oklahoma City's got a nice future.
I am right. This time I'm right, Mike.
You are right. All right, I'll give you that. And then they've got all that draft capital that they can still do, just like New Orleans does, that they're in prime position to be able to make moves when and if they want to. So Godspeed to Chet Holmgren. Let's hope he comes back, and it'd be fun to see that team be fully realized.
The first training camp Elite Skill Development and Performance Combine will be held on the campus of Western Reserve Academy, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, powered by Unleash Potential and the Hoopheads podcast. The camp is designed for boys rising to grades 6 through 9 and will take place June 29th through July 1st, 2023. An emphasis on improving individual skills in the context of a team environment will be the hallmark of the training camp. Mike Klinzing from Head Start Basketball and the Hoopheads podcast and Joe Stacision from Unleashed Potential will serve as the camp directors of this inaugural training camp. Campers can expect 3 days of hard work, intense skill instruction, and learning how to be a great teammate on and off the court at the training camp. Players will participate in 10 elite skill development sessions led by some of the best coaches from across the country. Visit headstartbasketball.com to get registered.
All right, next, Phoenix. 52.5 was their over-under. I think we could safely say they are going to be under. We both took the under. Booker's injury, Chris Paul's age.
DeAndre Ayton
not talking to the coach. Look, that team, there were lots and lots of signs that this team was going to fall apart. I don't think anybody thought they were going to fall apart to this degree, but they're bad.
So I have a little inside information on them.
All right.
So my dad's best friend's daughter. I know this is ridiculous.
Okay, here we go.
One of my dad's best friends, he was in their wedding, and I've known them my whole life.
Okay.
Married a med student from Ohio State, and he got relocated to Phoenix, and now he works a part of the sports medicine for the Suns.
Okay.
And all so right. over the holidays, you know, I said, what's going on with those Suns? And this was before they were like, Booker was injured on it. He's like,
right.
I've never met a more dysfunctional group of athletes in my life. I'm not going to name this person, okay?
Okay.
So, but I just, it was just funny. He's like, Chris Paul is exactly who you think he is. And like, how he acts in the State Farm commercials is how he's in real life. He's like the nicest guy. Like, he's a really nice dude. You know, he's a competitor, but like one-on-one, he's a nice guy. He's like, Ayton's never acknowledged me once. Like,
that's hilarious.
I was like, well, you and the coach have something in common.
That's right. Hey, if he's not going to talk to the coach, he's certainly not going to talk to the medical staff. So
there you go. So
yeah, that team's a mess. They are a mess. And it's amazing. They like a meteoric rise and then a meteoric fall, right? Yeah. They were terrible 4 years ago. Then they had the 8-0 in the bubble, and then they had a 2-year run, and now they're right back in the tank. So congratulations, Phoenix. And then whoever buys this team, what's the guy's name who bought it? What's the guy's name?
I don't know.
I forget the guy. Matt, whatever.
Who cares?
So anyway, all right, let's move on. Portland at 39.5. So they have to get to 40. Right now they are 21-22, so they're right there. So this is an interesting one. You had the under, and I had the over. I think part of our debate back then was, is Dame going to be healthy, and what's this team trying to do? It seemed like based on their moves in the offseason that they were trying to win, but yet I'm not sure that anybody really thought that they had the pieces to be able to do that. So
Dame had 44 tonight, Mike.
He's been lights out in the last 2 weeks. He had 50 on the Cavs, and he's been really, really good. So if he continues to play well, I would have to think that they're going to get to that over number. They're going to be right there to get 40 wins. So
coin flip again.
Coin flip. Definitely a coin flip. This team has been sort of up and down, and I think that Dame's missed some time, but with him on the upswing and Simons continues to play well, Jeremy Grant's been good, and Shaedon Sharpe is a rookie that everybody is excited about. That guy can leap out of the gym. Anytime you watch highlights, like his head is at the rim all the time. And so I think he's a guy that Portland is excited about and is looking to build for whatever the future is around Damian Lillard. So I think they'll get to it, but you can't be feeling too bad about having the under. Sacramento. Everybody had the Sacramento Kings in the preseason at over 33.5. It just seemed like that number did not make any sense, and Sacramento has proved that it didn't make any sense. I don't see any way that this team does not get to 33.5, considering that they are already at 24.
I'm not here to play coach regular season games.
That's right. Mike Brown. Beam team.
Yep.
They're getting it done. Sabonis has been great. Herder's been great. De'Aaron Fox has been great. They're right there. That, like, the fact that Sacramento's sitting fourth, and I know they're only 24-18, but the fact that they're sitting fourth in the Western Conference and they're a home court advantage team in the first round says a lot about what Mike Brown's been able to do and what those guys in Sacramento have been able to do. And I think clearly they're going to go over, although you unfortunately had the under for some reason.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, man, that's bad.
Yeah. I'm not sure why. All right. San Antonio Spurs, they're sitting at 13-31. Their over and under was 22.5. They could get there. They could get to 23, although I doubt it.
Do we both have the under?
We both had the under on the Spurs.
Okay. Yeah.
Both had the under on the Spurs.
I don't see them getting there, but
no, I don't either. All right. The Utah Jazz.
We both over had under, the under.
Over under 24.5. We both had the under. Kudos to Lauri Markkanen for getting it done. And he's going to be an all-star. And I don't know if you listen to the Simmons and Low pod on the Western Conference, which you probably didn't, but they were debating whether or not it should be Markkanen or LeBron starting in the All-Star game for the Western Conference. So that tells you pretty much everything that you need to know about this Utah Jazz season. when you are considering whether or not you would rather start Markkanen or LeBron in an all-star game, then you know that something has gone terribly right for the Utah Jazz, and that's the way it's gone. Now, look, they haven't been as good since their start. They've definitely tailed off, but where they are right now is well beyond whatever expectations anybody had for the Utah Jazz heading into the preseason. And who knows? Maybe they're going to make some trades. Maybe they're going to start to go the other direction with some of their personnel moves. But this team, for whatever reason, has worked on the floor. And a lot of that is due to Markkanen and just how great he's been. Part of me keeps looking at Markkanen and watching and seeing his stats and watching bits and pieces of the highlights and of their games. And you see what he's doing and the things that – just the way that he's scoring and the things that he's bringing to the table for Utah. And you're like, man, that would look really good in the Cavs lineup. He could really fill that last spot if we could somehow pull him back. Not that you'd want him instead of Mitchell, but man, what Markkanen is doing this year is incredible.
Yep, for sure. And it's nice to see that for him.
It is. He's a guy that I think a lot of people had kind of written off as ever having a chance to be what people thought he might be when he got drafted. And it's good to see. You always like to see guys fulfill their potential and live up to what the expectations are that other people had for them and probably that he had for himself. So I think that's where we leave it, right? We are done with the over-unders and we went through all 30 teams. We went how long? An hour and 15 minutes or so? We definitely went faster.
A little break from your dog, but yeah.
All right, so that's good. I don't think we want to talk about anything else. We figured we'd talk a little bit about maybe some of the awards for the midseason, maybe next week, or maybe wait till the All-Star break as we go through. Do we want to predict the Cavs record really quick? Since we always do that, let's do that quick, and that'll be our last thing to end this pod tonight.
I got to get to the schedule
so I can see it. So let's take a look at the Cavs schedule.
They play Memphis. I got it right here. They play Memphis.
That's a loss.
They play Golden State at home.
That's a win.
They play Milwaukee at home.
I'm going to say that's a win only because we're going to bet that Giannis maybe still isn't playing.
And then on Tuesday, they play at the Knicks.
We lost the last time in New York. We're going to win that game. I say we go 3-1.
I agree, 3-1. I feel better about tomorrow. I think the loss is against Milwaukee for whatever reason.
Really? All right. I think Memphis is going to be ready to play that game. And if Mitchell's not playing, I just don't see us having enough firepower to beat Memphis in Memphis. But we'll see. Be an interesting game. All right, let's leave it there. Thanks to everyone for listening. We appreciate it. Make sure you check out all of our other episodes here on the Hoopheads Pod. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Hoopheads Pod. Make sure you subscribe. If you feel like it, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.